Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And $4 billion later, it's here, the 2014 midterm elections. Governor's races, we'll check in on a couple. And 9 razor-tight Senate races, 7 with Democrats trying to hold on to seats in red or purple states that Mitt Romney won last time around.
Republicans need to pick up 6 seats to wrest control of the Senate from Democrats. Both parties will be watching returns in North Carolina, New Hampshire, Kansas, Georgia, and other states, including Iowa, where Democrat Bruce Braley is in a tight race against Republican Joni Ernst. If she's elected, she would be the first female senator from Iowa. NPR political correspondent Don Gagne is in Des Moines following the race. Don, welcome.
Hey, glad to be here.
And nationally, this Senate race has been a big story. In Iowa, where you are, is it what's driving people to the polls, or are there a lot of other things that are also getting voters energized?
Oh, no, I think this is fair to say that it is the Senate race that is really driving things. There are a couple of closely contested congressional races as well. Bruce Braley, who's running for the Senate, his seat is open up in northeast Iowa. And Tom Latham, the longtime Republican congressman, is retiring this year. He's a longtime close ally of John Boehner. So that seat's getting some action. But mostly it's the Senate race that is really driving things here and has gotten most of the attention.
And this is a seat that's been held by a Democrat, Tom Harkin, for a long time. Iowa has long been a state with a Democratic senator, Harkin, and a Republican senator, Grassley. How important is this race in national politics?
I mean, first, this seat just doesn't come open much. I mean, Grassley has been in office for a long time. The Democrat Harkin, as you said, he's been there for 5 terms. So it really is a race that everybody is watching nationally. And because Iowa is such a closely divided place, a Republican senator, a Democratic senator, 2 Republican members of Congress, 2 Democrat members of Congress, people are watching this place closely to see if it is some kind of a national barometer. And it's reasonable to think that it will be.
And they're pouring a lot of money and resources into this race. Tell us about how each side has been trying to get voters to the polls.
Well, the Democrats here have always been really, really, really good at getting people to the polls. Even before the candidacy of Barack Obama in 2007 here. Remember, he won the Iowa caucuses in early January of 2008, and it was because of the strength of his organization. That organization has, in effect, never gone away. You still have neighborhood team leaders, block leaders. They've been meeting every month with people in their neighborhoods. Never mind if it's an election year or not. So everybody knows that the Democratic machine here in Iowa is a well-oiled machine. They know how to turn people out. The Republicans have always lagged behind here, but they have poured a lot of money into it as well. And there are signs we'll see tonight that they are, you know, finally starting to figure out that whole ground game thing. The catch, though, is, and this helps Republicans, in midterms, their voters are more likely to turn out anyway. So they don't have quite as big of a lift as the Democrats have. And if I may add one more thing, Jeremy,
yeah.
We've always had unions and environmental groups, outside groups helping Democrats with their own turnout efforts. This year, for the first time, we have really big, well-funded efforts by outside Republican groups, especially Americans for Prosperity, that Koch brothers back group. They've had people canvassing in all areas of the state, so they're trying to have an impact as well.
And Don, the focus is going to shift right back to Iowa after this election because, of course, it's the first caucus state in the country for the 2016 race. Is there anything about what's been happening in this campaign that gives you any clues about 2016?
Everything is about the caucuses here, even when it's a midterm. We have had Hillary Clinton here. We have had Ted Cruz here. We've had Rand Paul here. We've had all of them here campaigning. Chris Christie campaigning on behalf of others. They're collecting chits. That caucus is right now scheduled for February of 2016. That's just over a year away. So after Christmas, we're going to really see things heat up again here already.
NPR national political correspondent Don Gagne joining us from Des Moines, Iowa. Don, thank you.
All right. We'll talk again from this place.
Okay. Well, there are also 36 gubernatorial races today, some also very tight. $50 million more was spent on governor's races than on Senate races this year. Let's stop in Wisconsin, a battle between the incumbent Republican Scott Walker and the Democratic challenger Mary Burke, former state commerce secretary. Most polls have it as a toss-up. Walker beat a recall in 2012. Bob Bach is Morning Edition host and reporter for WWM. He joins us from Milwaukee. And, Bob, what are the campaigns doing there to get people out?
They have been extremely active, as you might expect. Scott Walker with a bus tour throughout central and southern Wisconsin. Mary Burke, much the same, leading a caravan throughout central and southern Wisconsin. There are certain hot spots in the state that are very attractive to these candidates and could swing one way or the other. So the candidates obviously are trying to work to their strengths and trying to get those voters who might be on the fence. Although one of the leading jokes throughout this election cycle has been trying to find a voter that had not made up their mind because there are so few of them. So I'm not quite sure where they would have been located, but yet the cities of Green Bay and Wausau and Eau Claire and La Crosse across the mid-belt of Wisconsin have been particularly popular stops for both Mary Burke and Scott Walker.
Well, and we know that this is a governor that has a relationship with voters, those who passionately support him, those who tried to recall him. But is there anything else that's getting people to the polls? We are hearing that this has been the non-issue election. It's just more about people angry on both sides of the divide. Is there any other issue that's getting people out?
Not that I can tell. I think that in many ways this is a personality race insofar as you have legions of individuals who are roundly in support of Scott Walker and desire to continue to follow his leadership. And you have a legion of supporters of Mary Burke in this case who really want a change in direction in the state. I think what is certainly evident here is the division among those two groups of individuals. It's somewhat uncanny, actually. As a lifelong Wisconsinite, I have never seen this kind of environment where even on a Thanksgiving, you have families that no longer get together because they simply cannot put politics aside and have a family meal together. And it's not uncommon to hear stories like that, neighbors that don't communicate with one another anymore because of the division politically in this state. So it's certainly an opportunity for believers on both sides to cast their ballots, but the folks that have not yet made up their minds would be extremely difficult to find.
Well, and it sounds as if whoever wins has some healing to do. Meanwhile, there's also one statewide ballot question. What's that briefly?
Well, the ballot question has to do with whether money should be taken from the state transportation fund and used for other purposes, non-transportation purposes. This was a tactic that was used by governors actually of both parties for some period of time to help balance the budget. And this particular piece of legislation would make that not possible anymore. And whatever money that was in the transportation fund that was collected from fees and the gasoline tax, for instance, would be used for transportation projects only.
And not schools, for instance, which have been used for in
That's
the past.
Correct. Right.
That's Bob Bach, Morning Edition host and reporter for WUWM there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's a dispiriting to hear you talk about that division, Bob, but thanks so much for talking to us.
You're welcome.
And let's get to another tight governor's race in Florida, where it has been a nasty fight between incumbent Republican Governor Rick Scott and former Republican governor turned Democrat Charlie Crist. The race is expected to be the costliest in Florida history, and it will also be very close. For more on this race, let's bring in Matthew Petty, news manager at WMFE in Orlando. Matthew, as you watch the results come in tonight, what's going to be an early clue for you about how this race is going to end up?
Well, one thing we'll be looking at, Jeremy, is what's going on in some of the counties here in central Florida. Orange County in particular, Seminole County. An indication of just how important and how tight this race is the fact that both Charlie Crist and Governor Scott spent a last-minute push through the center of the state. Rick Scott ending up at a Harley-Davidson dealership in Orlando last night. He was campaigning alongside Texas Governor Rick Perry and Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. And then on the other side of town, pretty much at the same time, you had Charlie Crist talking to some students at UCF campaigning alongside former President Bill Clinton. So these areas in Central Florida are very critical in this race. The polls are pretty tight at the moment. It looked for a while as though Charlie Crist was coming back a wee bit of a an advantage over Rick Scott, but still within the margin of error. The latest poll, though, suggests they're pretty much deadlocked in this race at this point.
And when we spoke to you last month, when we were down in Florida with you, it sounded like voters had been turned off by negative campaigning, a lot of negative ads. Has anything changed since then?
The only thing that's really changed, Jeremy, is that more money has gone into these ads. Some estimates more than $100 million for television ads for both Charlie Crist and Rick Scott. Have Adrian Wiley, the Libertarian candidate, of course, but he's vastly outspent by Crist and Scott. And just in the last week, Rick Scott pouring over $12 million of his own money into television ads to get to the voters in the last week of the campaign. Some political pundits you speak to might say that's an indication of some desperation creeping in there. Others would say that maybe he's confident that he's got the race locked up and just trying to make sure that they stay ahead. But it remains to be seen whether those negative ads translate into people turning out at the polls in large numbers today, or whether voters in fact decide they want to stay home.
Well, and you mentioned that the candidates themselves have been with some very well-known names, Rick Perry, Chris Christie, former President Bill Clinton, some people that may have their own interest in getting to know the voters of Florida for 2016. But what are the candidates up to today, Scott and Christ?
Well, they're still on the campaign trail, still trying to get those votes out there. I should mention, too, there's other things that might turn out the voters. There's three amendments on the ballot today for Florida voters. One of the amendments is Amendment 2. That's whether or not the state should legalize medical marijuana. That was seen early on in the race as something that could turn out younger voters, voters who might be in favor of Crist. Charlie Crist, before he announced his run for governor, was working in the law firm of John Morgan. He's a local trial lawyer here in Orlando, and he's somebody who's put a lot of his own money into this Amendment 2 campaign. So that could be something that turns voters out. But again, it's a little hard to say at this stage. One thing is that a lot of votes have been cast already, some 3 million by some estimates. And it just remains to be seen whether the low voter turnout you normally see in these elections doesn't happen this time around.
Well, we'll be watching in Florida. As always, Matthew Petty, news manager at WMFE in Orlando. Thank you so much.
No problem.